From the air, Barrow looked more like the last place on Earth than the place where our world could end, which I'd learned soon was the case. The big Globemaster transport made a wide turn over the frigid ocean and angled back toward the airport's lone runway, its four mighty engines spewing air. The roar was tremendous. We were at the top of North America. The town of 4,500, mostly Inupiat Eskimos, hugged the junction of the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas, waters frozen for centuries until recently, now passable to ships in summers. The water looked black as anthracite. I didn't see any ice out there. The big stuff, the pack, I knew, would come farther north. Alaska is so big that if you superimposed it over the continental United States, one end would cover North Carolina and the other would touch California. We'd roared over the Brooks Range, the peaks seeming to reach up and try to knock the plane from the sky. Dull sheep stared back from snowy crests. Then the mountains had dropped away, and the land had become brown tundra, rolling grass-covered hummocks and thousands of elliptical freshwater lakes. Shaped like sunglass lenses, they threw back golden glare through rainbows of vapor, mist tendrils, fog, drizzle. The sense, gazing out, was a flying through gigantic lungs. I'd slept for an hour, files on my lap, and had the dream about a girl from Smith Falls. More memory than imagination. A time-lapse vision of a slim 20-year-old with long chestnut hair, fawn-colored eyes, and an Irish freckled face. A stunner. A beauty. Naked. Her legs folded, sitting on an old yard sale carpet in my old college dorm. A beam of morning sun slanting in to highlight the curve of hip, smooth inner thigh, triangular three-freckle pattern on a small foot above clenched toes. A girl doing something mundane, speaking to her mother on a telephone on the first night we'd slept together.
"Yes, Mom, I'm fine. No, Mom, we didn't drink wine."
A girl who, at that moment, had seemed the most breathtakingly beautiful image I'd ever seen. I'd married that girl, but the early vision we'd shared of each other had not lasted. Still, it had not occurred to me then that years later, after many stunning views, elephants grazing at dusk in Angola, glaciers 200 feet high calving in Antarctica, the moon on jungle canopy in Nicaragua, the simple image of a girl in a dorm room would stand out. Some people think nightmares are the worst dreams from which to awaken, but it's beauty that gets you. Not ugliness. Glory that ambushes you with the bittersweet touch of remorse, slipping through the unconscious to a 39-year-old bachelor who traded family for duty. The barest whiff of regret that comes when you open your eyes in the morning, before the tasks of daily living wipe it away, that glimpse of solitude that I'd realized in rare moments comes with membership in the unit, although no one tells you that when you join. I'd chosen to confess to my wife what I'd done and watched her close up to me forever. The last image, before I shot awake, was a coiled, black, old-fashioned rubber telephone cord pressed against a white breast, leaving a pink mark. Can you beat it? Just a plain phone line. And I'd woken with a hole in my gut, the co-pilot's hand on my shoulder, and with the sour knowledge that the man who shared Nina's bed now was behind me in the plane.